This podcast is sponsored by ORC HSE Strategies, an industry leader in developing innovative and sustainable approaches for protecting workers and the environment. ORC membership includes EH&S vice presidents, directors, and senior managers from over 120 large global corporations in 20 different industry sectors. Many member companies like General Electric and Alcoa and GM and ExxonMobil and DuPont and Duke Energy and Siemens Healthcare Diagnostics and Allergan and Procter & Gamble and 3M have very well-established reputations as industry leaders in EH&S. That's like reading the greatest hits list. The value provided by the organization comes from harnessing the collective wisdom of all of these members and from the guidance and facilitation and expertise from the staff with decades of experience in EH&S. If you're interested in learning more about the unique opportunities available through ORCHSE, please contact Linda Haney at 202-510-0509. Or you can pop Linda an email at linda.haney@orchse.com. That's Linda, L-I-N-D-A dot Haney, H-A-N-E-Y, at orchse.com. Now, the podcast. Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Pre-Accident Podcast. I am your host. Well, let's see. This should go. So we're kind of deep into fall, which is my favorite time of year. You know this because I talk about it all the time in the podcast. It's the best time to be in New Mexico for a million reasons, but the least of which is not. How was that for an awkward sentence construct? The smell. New Mexico smells amazing in the fall because they roast chilies, they burn piñon. There's just a lot going on aromatically. And it's kind of fun to be here because, well, you know, it's just nice. The nights are cool. The days are warm. It's sunny and beautiful and everything's grand. That's how it all goes. Today's podcast is kind of interesting. You're going to like it. It's a conversation. Bob Edwards led a conversation with Marcy Fraser and Terry Czar from Mississippi Lime, which is in Missouri. I know. It sounds like it shouldn't be. But the Mississippi River is a huge part of Missouri, so it kind of makes sense, right? And it's a discussion really around their journey so far. So we've really kept up with Marcy and the New View journey she's been on because she's so much fun on the podcast and people love her. This one's nice because she brought her exec in. And so it's a really good chance to listen to this conversation between the exec and what the exec's thinking, because Terry's, you know, at a different place on the pointy stick, what Marcy's thinking, and then Bob facilitates it beautifully. I think you'll find this to be a very, very fun little podcast. Sit back and enjoy, that's for sure. Thanks for listening, and no matter what it takes, tell your friends to listen. I don't care how you have to do it. Skywriting, tattoo, what else would be good? Inside of bottle caps, that seems like a great way to advertise. Can sides, there's tons of ways to get the message out there. But the more the merrier, and we're starting to have a little impact. I'm so proud of you guys. The world's getting safer, and fewer people are getting fired for dumb reasons, which is kind of why we listen anyway, right? So reliability is important. Process is important. So is the organizational journey. And that's today. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the podcast conversation on organizational journeys with Terry, Marcy, and Bob.
So I'm Marcy Fraser. I'm the National Director of Safety for Mississippi Lime Company.
And been on the podcast a couple of times.
Yes, right? So yep. It's great to be back. Thank you for having me.
Yep.
And my name is Terry Czar, and I'm the VP of Operations for Mississippi Lime.
And we literally have Terry cornered. That's how we had to get this podcast. We had to corner him. He's in a corner of a conference room. That's right. Yeah. So one thing that I wanted to talk about just for a few minutes anyway is you guys were just practicing for a trade show you're going to next week, right? Tell me a little bit about what that trade show is and what's the importance of you guys going to talk at it.
So the trade show is the National Lime Association. So it's all the lime producers in North America. And we get together at an annual show where we review safety topics, safety innovation, regulatory changes. We talk about the changing environmental world, We talk about not necessarily competitive issues, obviously, because of antitrust, but we talk about things affecting the industry. So right. It's a good clearinghouse.
But it's very specifically to the lime.
It's all about lime.
So I initially thought it was like a mining conference, but this is all about lime.
Correct.
Cool. And then so you guys are going to actually speak at this one too. What's that all about?
Yeah, so every year they put a call out for the membership to share safety innovations. So our journey on the New View is an obvious choice for us to speak on and to actually share the learning team's tool with the others so that they can get a taste of what it's like.
Cool. And what I think is really cool is you're taking some of your team members from the learning team to go help do the presentation.
Yeah, it's very exciting because the learning team was made up of both salaried and hourly personnel, and it's about the number one type of injury that we have in our industry, so it'll have wide application to the membership.
Cool. Very cool.
And I believe that our hourly going to the meeting and presenting is indirectly or maybe directly an indication of the capacity we're building in our organization. So how many organizations have the ability to have hourly people come talk about the leading injury in their industry to the industry?
That they are actually working on
that
making better.
Actually working on driving improvement.
Yeah. So how could you possibly ask for more accountability, right? I mean, I get this all the time from companies that are just getting started. They get all freaked out and say, well, what about accountability? How do you get more accountability than that? You've got the guys that actually are close to this work that deal with these kind of injuries helping you solve this problem.
It's amazing.
It is cool, isn't it? Yeah. So what I also think is interesting, just as a side note, I understand one of the guys has never flown before.
That's right.
I mean, talk about a new experience.
Actually, two of them have never flown before.
Yep. And one of them never been to the ocean.
Yes,
I think, right?
The other
so, wow, what,
been to
what
the ocean.
A great.
So we're going to fix all of that.
Nice. All at one conference. Cool.
Okay, it's Todd again. Sorry to interrupt. They had a nice little discussion about the conference, and then they broke right into learning teams, but somehow I messed the file up. This is part of the joy of doing a podcast. You don't even know the behind the scenes of this. You should go for a special tour, a wine tasting podcast studio tour. And they started talking about learning teams, and Terry started talking about where they were using learning teams, and he expanded it beyond really safety. So we're going to jump in as Terry's describing it. It sounds fine. It's not a problem, but it felt like it needed a little bit of a addendum to make it even better. So here we go.
From safety, we've done environmental, we've done quality, and most recently we did one in preparation for our contract negotiations on a labor relations issue, and people said, yeah, that's a natural thing for us to use to get there.
Nice, because you're learning, right?
Right.
The whole goal is learn and improve.
Right.
And it's a great method. And do you find that even in, I mean, you don't have to do a learning team for everything, just in, like you were talking about, in your normal conversations, you're starting to see this rubbing, this new view kind of rubbing off on just everyday sort of operations.
Absolutely. Again, I think it just boils down to asking better questions, making sure that we understand the situation and not jump immediately to solutions.
Right, right.
You know, it's about being effective, not necessarily being efficient. And I'm an engineer, so that's really
hard
for me to say.
That's tough one, right? That's right, yeah, yeah. But we also, and you guys know this, I mean, I worked with a big corporation for 16 years, and we push so hard, and we have so many metrics, and it almost seems like we get so focused on the metrics that we lose sight of the fact that we have an amazing resource of brain power and commitment that our employees have in our organizations that are not just casually, they're very willing to get involved when we ask them and when we include them. They got a lot of good stuff to bring to the conversation.
Yes, and so it's really been an empowering thing for the employees to participate in learning teams. And at the presentation next week, one of our hourly employees that's going, the one that hasn't seen the ocean, he actually wrote himself how he participated and found that his opinion mattered.
Right. Nice.
And so now he's even more engaged than he was before, helping us do some micro experimenting with PPE and helping.
And he's heading that up.
Yes.
Nice.
It's fabulous. And advocating out to his coworkers there in the unit. It's just been I couldn't have imagined that it would have turned out to be as good as an effect on that employee as it has.
Very cool.
I think it's also, and all of us are dealing with the changing workforces to the millennials. And millennials, and I know this is a broad characterization, but they want to be involved. They want to make a difference. They're looking for the greater good, not just about focused on me as an individual. And one of the nice things about this approach is it gives them an avenue to be engaged in helping drive that. And so we're seeing even a lot of our new employees, you know, get involved. Now, John has been around a bit longer, which was even more, was a bit more rewarding. But it was fun to see that.
Yeah, I was. So I got to sit through your new hire training this week. So the compliance oriented kind of training, right?
Yes.
Which was exciting. And it's interesting because I've done all this stuff with OSHA kind of training through the years or whatever. But MSHA is another set of thinking and rules and regulations. But I even noticed in the conversations in the training, which is, you know, regulatory training, you have to do it, and I get all that. But even in the conversations there, I'm hearing a lot of this more about involvement, more. And you as new employees, you said it this morning, Terry, you said to the guys that are brand new, you said, your fresh set of eyes question stuff. You know, look at when you see things that don't look right and don't seem right, ask. Don't just think you have to do it because somebody said do it. Yeah. And then, Marcy, you said it earlier in the week, too. You said, I love new employees because you're a fresh set of eyes. I mean, that's unusual. Usually it's like, oh, man, we got new guys coming in. We got to get them up to speed. It's going to be a pain. But you see them as a valuable, right off the bat, valuable asset. Yeah.
I gave an example the other day of a new employee at another location who came in, questioned something. It was an obvious potential area for injury, and we changed the facility a bit and probably avoided an injury. But it was a new employee. Just like, geez, why did we do this?
Yeah.
Why did we do it this way?
Yep.
And, you know, how could we do it differently? And that was very good, very positive.
Very rewarding. And you're right. It's a generalization, but I do see this with a lot of the new generation coming into work. They want to matter. They want to be a part of something. And if we just say, look, I just need you to shoot that screw and plug that wire or shovel that limestone or whatever, I mean, they want more than that out of life. And we're giving them that, and we're getting back because they're giving so much back to our organizations. So what other things are as you kind of move forward, what are you kind of doing with this? You said it's more than just safety. So you're moving this into other areas? Or
we have been. We've actually had, when we started this, we included environmental from the very beginning. There's a lot more energy, maybe, so to speak, around this safety because it's kind of viewed as it gets more status in our company.
Right.
But we're changing that. We're shifting that. And when you start looking now at the number of people, and we have not just safety leaders and managers, but we have supervisors and hourly people now entering incidents and leading safety and leading learning teams, we're getting that into the environmental. Quality's a bit behind that, but coming.
Right.
And I expect that, you know, as we build our standards or expectations, mm-hmm. that people will figure out when we have deviations and when they need to ask those questions. And then, you know, we'll get into either operational deviations or operational upsets where they'll get the mindset. Well, they'll ask those better questions about how did this happen?
Right.
And that's a nice segue into a recent learning team that was conducted where, you know, it was an operational failure.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we see now that a lot of things that we originally thought were safety issues. Bob, we were talking about this before, how when you do the learning team, you find out it's really not a safety issue. It's an operational issue that we're seeing that's, you know, manifesting in the safety arena or in other ways. So it's really some interesting learning that's going on with these failures and events that are occurring.
And do you feel like it's starting to break down sort of the silo? I mean, we've been talking about silos forever and break down the silos and, you know, all that stuff. But do you feel like this is actually making that happen at levels that maybe we haven't seen before, where it's not a quality problem, it's not a safety problem, it's operations. We're trying to get stuff done, and operational issues lead to all kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think it also ties back to that statement that's been said around, you know, the work. I mean, employees that are performing the work don't perceive the work as quality work, safety
work,
environmental,
right.
It's work.
It's all
integrated into one.
Yep.
So
we're the ones that separated it all out, right?
Yeah.
We built all these departments, and so
any deviation, any upset can have any number of impacts. So the more the capacity we build in there, the more we lessen those potential deviations or the consequence of those to something that they have the capacity to manage.
Yep.
And so that's important. I don't know that we'll have to do this a while longer. 18 months has not been enough time for people to start just thinking about work. They still think about what kind of incident that was, as opposed to a deviation. But we're getting there.
Yeah, yeah. And the fact that I think they were all starting, and what I think is amazing about this whole process is, think about how much all three of us knew about this whole way of thinking 4 years ago.
Right.
Right? Like, what is going on, right?
Yes.
I mean, we talk about this and see how much things have changed and how we're starting. I think we're gaining different and deeper understandings because we're doing, right? I mean, we're actually doing this stuff. And so right. as we do it, we realize it's not a safety problem. We're not chasing it around like a safety problem. It's an operational, it's work. It's what right. we do. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think it's a credit to Terry in the leadership that, you know, we're thinking about human and organizational performance and learning teams in terms other than safety. It's right. giving them the permission to review events in that broad scope,
right.
not just such a narrow scope of safety.
Right.
I think, you know, yes. And it just, and it all starts with my response, management response, leader's response does matter. I mean, right. it really does. Errors will happen. Mistakes will be made. Things will pop up. Now what? What can we learn from it?
Right.
And the learn first, then act mantra, you know, just needs to be something that we continually reinforce.
Well, let's explore that a little bit because, you know, I'm excited about you being on the podcast because your peer group, you know, leaders at your level of the organization and their adaptation into the new view and the struggles they have. Can you share some of that? What insights can you share with the group around leadership's journey into the new view? What things were difficult? What things were easy? What things made huge impacts with the organization? Is there anything like that, that you can
Did you
mind
you just
with?
Get it right from the beginning and say, oh, I got this?
Our journey, you know, it started with me at a prior company, and our journey started with a dissatisfaction with the ability to get better. We had plateaued, as so many companies had plateaued, and we were trying to figure out what we could do that was broader than that. And it was the interesting thing is we were together as a group of safety professionals at an annual meeting where we kind of reviewed safety performance. And we were struggling, and we said, there's got to be something else. And we heard a little bit about this human performance thing, but we didn't know much. And then we got introduced to Todd, and it just, I don't want to say just clicked, but it made sense.
Right, right.
You know, it was not overly complex, and it was something that was easily implementable. I mean, you could go do it once you understood the basics tomorrow, and even if it was not perfect, it was good and it was progress. And yeah. so progress builds on progress or improvement builds on improvement. And so the nice thing about the approach is just that. It's not overly complicated and it's easy to implement and people understand it. And it, you don't have to have, you know, 14 sessions with 13 paid facilitators. It's just understanding situations, people telling a story, so they can understand the situation and be, you know, be a little bit patient through the process. And it's amazing what you learn. You really, the most fundamental thing is you have to care about people and you have to be curious about what they do and want to understand how they're struggling with what they do.
Yeah. And I think you guys agree with the thing that we say a lot nowadays is that fundamentally people come to work to do good work.
Yeah.
I mean, there are always some that don't, but if our assumption is, and it's a true, I think it's a good assumption. Most of the people I've met at your organization, they're here to make stuff happen, to get work done and to do a good job.
I fundamentally believe that if you create the space for people to do amazing things, some of them will actually exceed your expectation.
Yeah, yeah.
There will be some people that will disappoint you, and the whole group in between will follow the lead. And so, right. why would you want to create the environment or the space for some people? And we've had some great examples, and you met one of them the other day, the person that led our rail safety improvement, where we created the space for him to use his knowledge and his passion around a topic to really change the way we did that work in a way that was much more safe, that we had a lot more capacity to handle the variation you see in those kind of activity. I mean, it's one of the things that, you know, was just a great story.
And what I think is cool too, you've mentioned several times, is growth capacity, right? I've seen that in the short amount of time that I've been able to hang out with you guys, is that the capacity is, you're tackling bigger stuff and tougher stuff, and it's not even scary. You're just like, well, let's dig in and learn. That could have been bad. Whoa, let's get in there, and right? And so you just, I've seen that happen, and like you said, it's not been a long time period, but at the same time, it didn't happen overnight, right? So it's not like you just flip the switch and you're done, but every time you have that success and every time you make that progress, we talk about it. Confidence builds capacity. I mean, you're seeing it here, and you're the right size of a company, I think, to move faster than some of the bigger companies. I mean, bigger ones have a tougher time moving quickly. Not always, but most of the time. So I think you guys are moving at a pretty nice pace.
Yeah, our size affords us that bit of agility. But I'll say it's not just the learning. It's the follow-up, mm-hmm. the action items. Because, you can learn all you want, but if you don't do anything with that information, right. you don't really drive any improvement. Yeah. So, it's a credit to the organization that they follow up on those action items and actually complete them and, yep. and share that and communicate that out with the rest of them so that we know we can see evidence.
Yep. That's where in my mind, keeping this is a great process. We've got structure to support it. I mean, we have our safety organization. We've got all the people we've run. I don't even know. I'm trying to think now. Probably 10 or 15% of our workforce has been through the training for learning teams.
And we've scheduled more.
And we're just going to keep scheduling them until I don't know why we would ever stop. And then we're using systems to make it easy for people to do right things,
yeah.
to report things and to document follow-up and make it accessible for everyone. I think you have to have all of that.
Something I want to thank you guys for is that as you've gotten more interested in near misses, you didn't put a metric on it. Like, I need 9 near misses per week or whatever. I mean, oh, my word. What you're looking for is, as far as I know, I haven't heard of that anyway. What I've seen is you're interested in sort of interesting near misses, good ones that you can do something with. Because if you put a metric on it, I need 9 a week, well, then you'll get this little ticky-tack stuff to fit the metric. But I think you guys value near misses as a great opportunity to learn. And
we certainly do, and I'm pretty pleased to say that the ones that we do get in, I mean, we review those. I know Terry does personally, mm-hmm. and there's not a whole lot of, I'd say, I don't think there's any fluff at all to what we're, the data that we're getting in.
Right.
And so they're meaningful and substantial and that we're acting upon.
Yeah.
So
that's good. I think that's really smart because, I mean, sometimes we find something nice and cool and we're like, well, okay, we need to measure it. And I mean, everybody that listens to your podcast that's heard me talk, I get, a little torqued about over too many metrics. I'm not saying don't have metrics. I'm just saying we have put so many in place that we start managing the metrics instead of leading people. And that's what you guys haven't done that. You have really built this in as a way of thinking and you're showing value to things like near miss reporting. So it's not a pile of them coming in, but it's good ones coming in.
Yes, and we're getting them, we're getting them from all levels of the organization down to the hourly folks. And then, we have a system that allows them to directly input, these near misses and other things that they see. And I'll compliment Terry because he gets alerts or notices about these. And for those that are really good catches that, are really substantial, he'll personally contact the originator to thank them for bringing that to our attention for further action.
Yeah, it's actually, we had one just the other day. And but it's fun because you're trying to reinforce people doing the right thing. You're trying to reinforce those behaviors where people took the time to discover something. And it's really fun when you find that it wasn't just they stumbled into it, but they actually had to do a bit of a work and they were looking for those deviations. And boy, they're just, that's time well spent giving people that positive feedback.
Right. And I remember that one from the other day and the employee came back and said, just doing my part.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, he was very humble about it, but it was a very significant incident that was avoided through some good work on his part.
So we're next. What are we doing? What's next? I mean, if you think about this. Oh, did you hear there's a new book coming out?
Yeah. Yeah.
I might have heard it from another guy. Another guy named Todd. Yeah.
we'll continue to focus on the near misses or the activity within the organization and look for these passive signals, these weak signals, and get better at that. I think that's important. I think that it's important that we start learning from our jobs, the post-job reviews, the four basic questions that you can ask and apply. And we started with, and we'll continue with, periodically just asking the open-ended question of our employees, what could go wrong? What bothers you? Where did you struggle today? Yeah. And there's so much to be learned from that. You can get overwhelmed by asking that question, but I still think every once in a while, it's a pretty powerful question to ask. And if you do those things and you just continue to work those...
It'll grow, right?
It'll grow on its own as you build the capacity. So it's not just asking the question for the sake of asking the question. It's also building capacity into the organization as you work your way through those questions and what comes from them.
I heard something really cool from one of your managers. I was part of a learning team with you guys this week, and one of your, I don't remember, he's like the second in charge of one of your sites. There's like several sites here on site, right?
Right.
Anyway, he said, I really want my supervisors out in operations way more, right? So less tied up with things that aren't bringing much value. So he's going to proactively with his team, I'm sure you guys too, right? Start looking at, are there some things here that we do that don't bring a lot of value? Because we have that in every organization. I spend, an hour a week on this, but it brings no value. He's going to look for some things to maybe pull off of those guys so that they can spend more time out there doing what really brings value.
Yeah, that's like unheard of.
That's exciting, right? Because you know what? I ask this all the time. I ask leadership of companies, when's the last time we took something off of a manager, off of a supervisor?
Everybody listening to the podcast right now, they're going to take this little snippet and say, boss, listen to this.
Right, but we need to, right? It's time to back up a moment and say, hey, what can we take off of you? Because we're finding some of this stuff brings more value. Getting close to the guys that are doing the work, listening to them, learning from them, learning teams, all these things.
Getting the weak signals.
Finding those weak signals and responding to them. And instead of us all being, just sort of bombarded by back-to-back meetings and 1,000 emails a week or more, I had a plant manager that I know really well. He said email is so out of control for him, he got in trouble. He was checking his email while he was at church. And his wife's like, put that away. You're going to hell. Right. And so, but that's what's happened to this. It has consumed us. And so I'm super excited. I think the learning team that I was a part of, I can't wait to hear what all they do. But I'm really excited about that manager micro experimenting, like you called it, right, and seeing if he can actually find some things that don't really bring much value and say, hey, let's stop that. Or let's cut that in half or whatever, and let's do more of this kind of stuff.
Our first line, too, and yes, I'm aware that our first line supervisors, we did an analysis about a year ago in terms of how they spent their time and identified a couple things that we wanted to cut out, and we're working our way through that. So we had to put some systems in place to back out some of the manual things they were doing. And then the real question is, how do we fill that void? And part of it is asking that question more time in the plant. The other question is, what have we done recently to develop our supervisors to be able to do more valuable things? So we're working our way through that over the next couple of months or yet this year to come up with some things that we can do to build their capabilities so they can have more impact in the plant.
So you have to give Todd and me an update on that. Next time we're all together. Because that, it's like Marcy said, that's kind of unheard of. I mean, we just keep thinking we can pile more on top of people and they'll just get it done. But in fact, we're not getting it done very well if we're just... So this is going to be a cool experiment, and it's going to be something we should share, not just amongst your business and your organization, but we should share it on other podcasts.
So what'd you think? Big thank you to Terry and Marcy and Bob. I thought that conversation was just a nice little kind of a glimpse, if you could be a fly on the wall, glimpse to a conversation about where they are in their journey and how they feel about it. Remember, and this is so important, it seems a little woolly, but it's so important. The two things you manage when you manage reliable systems are confidence and capacity. We have to believe that we're doing the right thing and that the work we're doing is good, and then have the capacity to actually fail as safely as possible. That is in that podcast all over the place, and that's cool. That's today's podcast. Hope you enjoyed it. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends to join us. As always, I hope you learned something new every single day. Bet you did today. Have as much fun as you possibly can. And for goodness sakes, good gracious, be safe.